This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city, as we have been spanning the globe to give you the best in sports coverage and other things, as we normally try and do. So a couple news and notes from the NFL. If you were hoping as a Texans fan, not you, of course, but Nick and the rest of the Texans nation, if you were hoping that Josh Norman might consider the Houston Texans for his next team, that's off the table. He agreed to a one-year deal with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah,
I think it's probably a win-win for both of those teams, right?
Yeah, yeah. They could use some help at corner, and they gave him a pretty reasonable deal. I think it's like $6 million with and then incentives, playing incentives. So okay, he gets that now. But you can also, as a Texan fan, add another name to your list, as the Jets are set to release high-priced cornerback Tremaine Johnson,
okay,
who has not achieved as much as they had expected when they signed him. So he will be added to the free agent market. So maybe someone the Texans can look at there, if not Chris Harris Jr. or other, you know, guys that are going to hit the market that we've already spoken about.
Bring in all the ex-Broncos cornerbacks. Let's do it.
Well, if you can bring Roby back as part of the deal, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
because you need him to start with, and then go and get somebody.
Forget being the Patriots of the South. Be the Broncos of the East.
Okay, yeah. Like, do something, maybe, right? Not. Maybe bring you back in the fold.
As a fan?
Yeah. That'd be big.
You know Cowboys, what it's going to take. It's real simple.
And I would not be upset if that happened.
Get rid of Bill O'Brien, and I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Cowboys have sent Dak Prescott a new proposal, trying to avoid putting the franchise tag on him. They're trying to get something done with both him and Amari Cooper. And now word has surfaced that they are out there with the deadline for a franchise tag coming Thursday.
Looming.
Having sent another proposal to Dak's peeps in hopes of kickstarting earnest discussions that lead to a multi-year agreement. I think if those earnest discussions are going to be taken seriously by Dak's side, probably going to have to get more than $33 a year, which is what sources have said the Cowboys had to offer.
That's all they offered?
$33 million per season and more than $100 million guaranteed on the table. You got to believe, because he knows the market, that's low, considering Russell Wilson has the highest yearly rate at $35 million, Roethlisberger $34 million, Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff at $33.5 million.
And they're a bit desperate, and they don't want to have to franchise him. And yeah,
and I mean, they supposedly will. They have Mike to. McCarthy came in part because he knew Dak was going to be there. He's always liked him. You know, McCarthy taking over that team but not having a quarterback is a totally different scenario, starting all over.
Oh yeah,
than having a guy that's established in the market in the building.
Believe it.
So we'll see how that goes as well. And then in terms of the new collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, the word has it that the NFL Players Association has pushed the vote deadline back to Saturday night of this coming week so they can try and get a final vote.
I didn't read it all. I saw it in passing, but I think it was Aaron Rodgers that maybe said it. But somebody came out and said, I don't know if the guys are really reading this CBA. He said, I feel like they're just like whatever. And it's a bit concerning that people aren't more into this.
Yeah, I think in part that you've had a J.C. Tretter, who used to be with the Packers, who's the player rep for the Browns, being considered to be the new Players Association president, is also out there in long social media messages trying to get the players to understand the deal so that they can pass judgment and make a better yes or no vote, with, you know, knowing more of the details. Because you've got the Russell Wilson camp and the Aaron Rodgers camp and the Pouncies of the world that are saying, this is a hard no. Just don't, because it's not good. Then you get the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world, who's obviously book smart, but coming out saying, I'm definitely voting for it. And you're wondering, like, you know, who's going to influence the most players to be able to get this to where it needs to go? Then you're also hearing quietly the owners are hoping that the players reject this because they're trying to get 18 games.
I found the quote, and it was Aaron Rodgers. And he said, there's not a lot of critical thinking going on. it's a little longer of a quote, but he says, that's probably the most disheartening thing. This is a society we live in now that's so distracted by the swiping world of apps and social media. I don't know. Do guys really care about this stuff? Unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, for the people wanting to push this deal through so badly, that's kind of a win because nobody's critically looking at this or thinking about it. They're just like, oh, what's my salary going to be? Oh, cool. Not like, are we taking care of former players? What kind of additional player risks are we taking on? What are we getting in return for that? So he's certainly a little concerned because I guess
not to mention,
because players are like, hey, cool, more money.
You can see the young guys going, oh, cool, an extra game, so I get an extra check. But you know what? You also get a lot of extra wear and tear on your body that's going to take its toll long term and probably shorten your career.
It's a great point. You could play one extra game a year. And if you do that over, you know, 5 or 6 seasons, what are you really making that much more money if your career is cut 5 or 6 games
exactly.
short?
Exactly. Yeah. Which ends up costing you a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy, but I've seen this happen because I went through a lockout in the NBA as well. Mm. And the thing
that
is,
was your fault too,
is
sure.
that, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Tad still blames me, but, you know, the bigger thing is that even at people don't realize, they think it's kind of a popularity contest when you are voted the player rep for a team,
mm-hmm.
but your duty as the player rep is to sit down, and it's so much easier. And it's easier in the NBA than obviously in the NFL when you only got, you know, 14 other guys to talk to, but your player rep, for your team in the NFL, it's his responsibility, whether it via phone, text message, you know, in person, short, small meeting groups, however you do it. But you got to educate and inform every guy in that locker room so you can prevent a bad deal from getting approved
yeah.
that could cost the entire league of players for years to come because it's like a 10-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not. It's like you hear when people are bitching about certain things, certain athletes. It's like, well, that was the CBA you agreed to,
right?
So you better take it serious.
No question.
And that's
about
Aaron
it.
Rodgers'
and that's
point.
Across sports.
Yeah, for sure. All
when
three.
We're talking
all
about,
three big
yeah,
leagues.
You agreed to that in your. You know, you need to talk to your players' association, and that's exactly what it comes down to. Situations like this.
Yeah, I saw a really cool article about the fact that the AFC South is basically the other teams in the AFC South because you know the bad storms. That hit Nashville pretty yeah. hard.
Mm-hmm.
But the Colts, Texans, and Jags have come together, and they're jointly donating $100,000 to the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee.
$100,000 each team or just $100,000 total?
A joint donation.
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
And Cal McNair, I guess, is leading the charge on that because he said, man, so many NFL partners, including the Titans and
Wait,
Amy Adams.
Cal McNair's alive?
Apparently so.
Okay.
But he said Amy Adams Strunk, the Titans, answered the call to help our city during Harvey recovery. And so we're grateful to be able to help them. But it's a cool thing. You like seeing that you know, there's the sports and the rivalries,
no,
but
fantastic.
there's the humanity side of all this, too. And the fact that they have the you know, three teams that'll come together and donate $100,000, that's going to go a long ways, I'm sure. It's not.
After J.J. Watt, it's unfair.
Oh,
it
sure.
It seems like that number is light. To donate for three teams combined when one dude
right.
raised so much for one city. It's almost like, we'll let you borrow JJ for the offseason just so he can raise enough money for Nashville, and then he has to come back.
Titans donated $1 million
there you
to
go.
The same fund.
There you go. That's good. But that's what I'm saying. It seems like between three teams, you could come up with more than $100,000.
Well, don't be judging.
I'm not trying
it's
to
like,
be judgmental.
Are you telling
but
me
I'm
I should have gave more than $1.75 to that homeless man? Because I had more.
Well, I told you at the time you should have. No.
I don't feel like what how here's the deal. You give me $5 and then next time I'm in Austin I'll give it to a homeless
See, the
person.
The problem is
you.
If I would have been there I'd have given him at least $5. $5 more than you would you give him $1 and like a handful
about
$1. Of pennies?
$1.75. Yeah.
You think you had at least 75 pennies?
I think so.
I don't think you did.
Well, how do you,
you
know?
Already, I think you already picked through that for the tolls.
The tolls don't take pennies.
Okay, well, that hadn't stopped you.
That's why it was all pennies, because I picked through it for Diet Coke money here at
there
the
office.
There
you go. So you knew there was no silver in it.
That's
it
right.
It was just pennies.
That's right.
And a handful, and I don't know that you got Trump hands or anything
How
like that.
How much money have you given to a homeless person this week?
Oh, this week just started. Today.
Well, last week.
Last week?
Lies. All lies.
Not
no
true.
No one believes you. Nope. Not buying it.
About $3.
Lies.
Not you true.
Just,
I had to
said,
go downtown.
Nick, I could have said $7.
Stopped
like,
at
about
Starbucks.
$10.
Nope.
Oh,
stopped
please.
At Starbucks down in Midtown.
You're like a window. I see right through you.
No, you don't.
Hey, I got this.
You don't
this
know
is
me.
Easy.
You don't know me.
I mean, You're my work wife.
See?
It's my job
that,
to know
that
you.
That explains
By
it.
The way, speaking of that and people not getting along at work.
Okay.
I'm watching The Other Guys again, the movie. Oh, my God. It's on Netflix. If you have Netflix.
Who's and in
you,
The Other Guys?
It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And we were just talking about it the other day. It is. I was shocked because a long time ago, somebody had told me, have you seen The Other Guys? And I was like, I think I have, but I don't remember it. They were like, dude, it's so funny. You got to watch it again. So I had it on my list of things to watch, but I couldn't find it other than to have to pay for it, like on Amazon or something. And then I think it came up on the show not too long ago. Well, last night I was searching through. I ended up watching that ZZ Top documentary. Also really good.
Really?
I didn't know a lot about ZZ Top. It was really good documentary on the group. But then I happened to just scroll past and see The Other Guys. I was like, what? Dude, this movie is so funny. If you're just looking for something funny to watch and you haven't seen it before or, you know, you haven't seen it in a long time, go watch The Other Guys on Netflix. Oh, my God. I'm just cracking up. And I wasn't even fixing my cataracts. This was all legit.
So this
laughing.
Isn't the one where Will Ferrell and is the new boyfriend and Marky Mark is the dad of the kids.
No, this is a cop show.
Okay.
And Will Ferrell is like, he used to be a pimp, but he's like trying to be right. And he's got like this hot wife. Eva Mendes is the wife.
Oh, say no more.
Yeah.
I'll have
and,
to watch it.
And he's like, she's so ugly. And Mark Wahlberg's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, she gets on my nerves. This is the old ball and chain. Dude, it's legit one of the funniest movies you'll watch.
Okay.
I mean, I usually endorse anything Will, even though he's not as, I guess, he's not as relevant as he used to be, I guess, but man, he's still relevant.
Dude, I'm with you.
This movie, it's packed with, like, stars. You got, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, but then Eva Mendes is in it. Michael Keaton is in it. The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are in it, and they're hilarious. It's so good. And I was falling asleep watching it, so I'm going to finish it tonight, but highly recommend
it. You just got done saying how good it was and you fell asleep watching it.
Yeah, it was like 2 in the morning. Okay. Come on. I mean, I had a long day.
I got to finish my... I'm watching The Devil's...
Where's Prada? Good for you, buddy.
No, The Devil... what is it called? The Devil Next Door.
Is it? Did you just come out? What is The Devil Next Door?
That guy that got accused for participating in the Holocaust and had a different name.
That's good.
Ivan the Terrible.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good movie. Good. Or a good documentary.
I'm on the second episode of like, I think there's like 5 or 6 episodes.
Wait until you find out when, no, I'm just kidding. I'm
not going to spoil it for you. I was going to say, man,
don't you hate people like that?
Of course.
It's like, wait until you find out that he was actually Hitler. You're like, bro, what? And Hitler's still alive. You're like, oh my God, you're killing me. Stop. No, that was a good one. But if you're a ZZ Top fan,
yeah,
or even if you're really not, it was really interesting because I was never a big ZZ Top guy. I mean, their music was okay to me, but it was really interesting to see how they formed. And, you know, I still in Tyler because he's a rock and roll dude. I was like, man, I didn't realize half of them weren't from Houston. They were from Dallas. He goes, I thought they were all from Houston. Nope.
I thought so too.
Two of them are from Dallas. Moved down here.
Frank Beard
from
the Hills,
Dallas.
Right?
Yeah. Fort Worth, I think. And then
Dusty.
The Gibbons dude is the one from
Billy
Houston.
Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons is from Houston.
Okay. Dusty Hill and Frank
Dusty,
Beard. Right?
Yeah, they're from the Dallas area.
Really?
Yep. I didn't know that. But it's a really interesting documentary. Hour and a half long. Put it in your list.
I would check that out.
Put it in your rotation. It's good.
I would too. Yeah. I totally thought they were Houstonian, like they were from Houston too. But I would have guessed that.
Yeah, they always Houston basically claims them.
Oh yeah, well they
or
are.
Maybe they
ZZ
started
Top
in Houston.
Started in Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had moved down here. So Frank Beard and
Billy Gibbons or Dusty Hill.
Dusty Hill. I can't never remember his name. I want to call him Dusty Gibbons.
Or Dusty Baker.
I'm just combining them all. But Frank Beard and Dusty Hill moved down here and then linked up with Billy Gibbons when he was, because he was already established in the music scene down here.
Okay.
So they all linked up down here. And they originally, I will spoil this, their original name, ZZ King. But you got to watch the documentary to find out why. It was pretty interesting.
Okay.
But yeah.
There's a
it was
teaser.
Cool. Yeah, do
we're
it.
To catch up on some
it's
movies.
Good.
Glad Nora's back. all right, we'll continue to roll through the final hour of the show. If you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest and join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number or text that number or just hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. The other NFL bit of business that we did not touch on from today is, one, Barry is doing an aluminum drive.
Smooth.
If you're interested in contributing to the Laminack aluminum drive, he has can number one, and it does make a lot of noise.
Can't do anything around here.
So other than that, the Rams, one who knew, were getting a new logo.
Yeah, that was weird.
Didn't even know that they were thinking about it. But not only are they thinking about it, but it appears now before they even have a big an announcement and debut and the whole works, as it normally is the case, the draft hat for the draft coming out has appeared online, and it appears that the new ugly Los Angeles Rams logo is out there for the people to digest. Ugh.
It doesn't look like a Ram at all.
I thought it was the, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, the Chargers got a new, because it looks like,
I'm with you.
Oh, it looked like a C. Call.
I thought the exact same thing, like, oh, the Chargers in their first year in the new building with the Rams kind of dialed up a new logo that's pretty cool, but
good
I
call,
never
guys.
Thought it was going to be the damn Rams.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's an L and an A and then some sort of semicircle that looks like part lightning bolt, part kaleidoscope.
Not bad.
It's not a good logo.
My favorite, though, in one of the articles, they had it side by side with some woman that looks like, somebody said, the Rams' new logo will definitely get the manager on you. Oh, and I just retweeted it at Barry is funny. Damn, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It looks like a sassy woman's haircut. It looks like Tammy in accounting would have this haircut and totally get the manager if you don't run the ball here.
So maybe it's the LA Tams instead of the LA Rams.
It could be
for
the
Tammy
LA
in accounting
Tams. Well
with
done.
The hair.
Yeah, it's bad.
The hat's worse because at least the Ram horn is all yellow and differentiates from the L and the A, but the hat, it looks like it's all just one color with just some yellow outline, and there's so much going on there, and you can't figure out what the hell it is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so part of that is part of the A, but it looks like the A is disappearing. I don't know. It's garbage. That's the best they could do?
Yeah, with the amount of time that they probably spent looking at it. Because yeah. I know when I was with the Rockets, and this was when they did the now horrible red and white jerseys. Mm. The focus groups, the thought process, the outside help. They brought in like a Broadway designer, clothing designer, to come up with a lot of the concepts. Let's be honest. They looked at the Chinese national team. They had Yao Ming, and they wanted to make something look pretty close, yeah. too. But even then, when we got like different designs, they would call bunches of us into the, there was a, you know, a cross section of us where they would just be like seven or eight of us in the boardroom, and they'd say, "What do you think of these?" And then people would give their feedback, and then they'd take
now,
that back.
Now, was everybody honest, or would y'all be like,
"Oh, no. We were, yeah."
They wanted 100% honesty.
Yeah.
Hurt feelings be damned.
Yeah. Well, if Les was in there, it might be a little different. But, okay. You know, but I think for the most part, people were, let's go tempered honesty.
You might be like, have you thought about maybe not making it look like the opening of a James Bond movie when he's running through with his gun? You know what I'm talking about? The little, the scope looking thing?
You're talking about for the Rams logo. Yeah. Because I'm saying the one thing that Les didn't want to hear was, oh, you stole the Chinese national jerseys. Because that would have pissed him off. But if you say,
sure,
well, maybe instead of just the R on the front, like the Chinese jerseys, you probably need to say Rockets, or hey, it'd be better if you had Houston because the city's always more proud of a team and a uniform if it's represented on the front.
Yeah. Hey, it'd be better if it was in letters you could read.
That's a different jersey, Barry, and that's a whole different subject on this show, as you know. We were involved in that, but I just think with the thought process that went into it, you could do better if you're in L.A. too. Where there's no shortage of artists.
Creativity.
Think about how many people put up like picture perfect Kobe life-size murals and all that stuff within 24 hours, and you couldn't come up with a better logo than that piece of garbage?
It definitely failed.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Nice.
Terrible.
Try.
By the way, I am seeing more and more the logo that seems to represent Kobe is the number 24 with wings and a halo. Saw him at the gym, saw t-shirts, and then there's, I've seen that a lot lately, and whoever did that, I don't know if they're getting copyright for it or whatever, but that seems to be the logo now that everybody is doing to memorialize Kobe Bryant.
Speaking of that, did you watch that Lakers-Clippers game?
I did.
That was a hell of a game.
Well, Lakers had to make, kind of like what we said when the Rockets had won the first games early against the Clippers and had a chance to win the season series. Lakers knew they dropped the first two against the Clippers, and they had to make a statement. In the process, LeBron made one too.
Oh, yeah. He made his, he's lobbying for the MVP, felt like.
Well, and I think people are taking it seriously now because they went in and they beat Milwaukee on Friday and the Clippers on Sunday.
And the Sixers before that.
Well, the Sixers didn't have Embiid or Simmons.
I know.
Fair enough.
That's a good point.
But overall,
and Zion
statement game in the fact that you took the number one seed in the NBA and the number two seed in the NBA. You beat them both in the same weekend, and LeBron had big numbers, and so did AD.
Yeah,
that's a statement that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with when the playoffs start.
Held them both to 103. Pretty interesting.
And in the process, late in the game Friday night, Giannis landed funny, had an MRI. Going to miss the final two games of the trip. One was yesterday. They lost to Phoenix because of it. First time they've lost back-to-back games all year. Wish the Rockets could say that. Now they got one more in Denver before they come home. But now you might see Giannis rest a little more because of the fact that they got to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Only thing is, with all the hype surrounding LeBron possibly taking the MVP from Giannis, he's probably going to want to be out there because that means something to him,
mm-hmm.
much like James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
So. We'll see how that all
plays out.
Did you
guys appreciate Pat Beverly's post-game remarks?
I loved it.
I loved it, too, man. He was asked about the challenges that LeBron presents on defense. He's like, no challenge.
No challenge. Fast, too. It was like, how did you feel about the challenge? No challenge. Like, what? Damn, bro, let him finish.
How hard is it? It's not hard at all. I was like, dang, bro.
So good. I love it. And even though I kind of hate him now because he's not a Rocket, if you're honest with yourself, you like watching Pat Beverly play.
Oh, dude, I miss him in the locker room, dude. He's fantastic.
Giving all these MVPs to the business, not caring, Russ and James and LeBron, and he don't care who you are.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, though.
He don't care.
That game could have ended a whole lot differently without LeBron James because when they got tied up in the two different altercations, the one, LeBron pulls his arm away so fast but violently that if that connects with him above the shoulders, you could have seen the Lakers have to play without LeBron James. That was close. And then the second one, LeBron, you could see whether he played it off well enough or not. He intentionally wanted to lay the hammer down on Beverly's shoulder when he came down on top of him. And that's when Pat kind of moonwalked backwards following him when LeBron was walking to the line.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, you know what? If you're a Rockets fan, you lived and died with every time he did that. And you loved every bit of it. But he's still doing it.
Just his body language alone. Even when he has nothing to do with the play, he's funny. Like the whistle blows and he just starts marching towards the bench. He just looks funny.
Yeah, just clapping. And he's always angry, but he plays under control. That's the thing is you feel like Russ is angry, but he gets a little bit out of control.
Well, look at the technicals. You know, and Pat Bev gets technicals, but he's not to the point on the brink of being suspended like Russell.
I think he leads the league right now.
He's one away from being suspended.
I feel like Pat knows if I get thrown out, especially on this Clippers team, no big deal. But if I can get your best player thrown out, if that's what we're doing, is if I can get LeBron thrown out and I'm gone too, that's a huge advantage, Clippers. And that's no matter who they play. If he can get Russ or James thrown out?
Sure.
That's advantage Clippers.
And
let's
be honest. It was an asinine statement because of the fact that we all know LeBron's he's a bitch for anybody to guard at any time, in any game. He's just that good. But Pat's just doing it because he knows they're going to see him again, and they got to play him one more time, and it's a big enough deal.
Would you want to anger LeBron like that?
You can't play scared, though. You can't play scared.
Well, but I think LeBron was already fired up enough by facing Giannis and then facing the Clippers, who everybody was giving more credit than the Lakers, and he stepped up. And this is year seven. This dude keeps doing it at his age. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I did ask Pat Beverly one time, by the way, about the whole fighting thing and everything. Did anything scare you? And he's like, bro, bottom line is, every day when I walk from my house to school or the corner store, there was a pretty good chance I was going to die or get shot.
That's crazy.
After going through that, nothing scares me.
That's crazy.
And I was like, you know what? I can believe that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight that fast.
You know what? You're tough.
Yeah. Gotcha. You win. All right. You guys are winning, too, because you're with us on the Suspects. We got a half hour to go on the show. We'll put 30 minutes on the clock, take it till 4 o'clock next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final half hour of the show, ESPN 97.5. Always encourage you, if you miss any portion of the program today or any other day, just go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the Suspects at the top of the page. The menu pops down. You can catch up on the hours you missed. And then while you're on the front page, you can also follow the instructions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another show.
Do it! That was better, right? That was a more enthusiastic one.
I feel like he's trying to throw us off now that he knows that I'm supposed to be on point and ready. So he's like pausing.
Yeah. And never.
Who's this he you're talking about?
Missa.
Joel Blank.
Me?
Shoo.
Well, because sometimes you guys were so late that you just didn't show, and that's not what I wanted.
Oh, well, it's your show. It's what about what you want.
I didn't say it was my show.
It's what you want.
Judge Wapner. You're always the one in the judge and jury chair. I'm just telling you, whenever we have, you know.
Hey, random question, but what's the deal with that contract with that he, it's.
Oh, Christian Yelich?
Yeah, all the way till 2042.
Like Bobby Bonilla
is exactly what it is. Yeah, Bobby Bonilla was still getting paid years and years and years after his last major league contract. I think it was by the Mets. I think he's getting $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he spread it out so that he elongated it to where, well, it's actually really smart if you can do it, that you don't need all of that, you know, upfront money or year-by-year money. Because then, depending on whatever happens for you life after baseball, you're still getting paid. So Christian Yelich signed that new...
And by the way, Bobby Bonilla's deal will go through 2035.
Oh, I thought it expired last year.
2035.
No, he's still got plenty. I remember talking... we were talking about it... we usually talk about it every day. Every year.
When it pops up. Yeah. But I thought that I thought we talked about the last time that it was the last year of the deal, but I guess...
$1.2 million a year until 2035, when he's 72.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Every
year, Jan 1, you just open the mailbox. Oh, here's $1.2 million.
It's even better now because it's direct deposit.
That's true.
I got $1 million more in my bank account.
Damn.
And people aren't waiting outside in a pickup truck to knock you over when you try to take that cash to the bank.
Or
I wonder how that works. I'm assuming it's direct deposit. I don't know. Could you imagine being a guy? So like when you get your game check, if you're a Rocket, I'm assuming it's direct deposit, right, Joel?
Sure.
I think it is now. I told you back in the day, Tammy from accounting used to give them to the equipment guy or Keith Jones, and they put them on everybody's chair at practice. Mm. So they used to just get the check in their
like
locker.
A paper check.
Yeah, their paper check, but it's got to be direct deposit now.
So this is what it says about Yelich's deal. $215 million, 9-year contract. Team calls for the Brewers to defer $4 million each year from his $26 million annual salary from 2022 to 2028. The deal includes a $20 million mutual option for 2029 with a $6.5 million buyout, and $2 million of the buyout would be deferred. So a lot of moving money around. But it says if the buyout is owed, the $30 million is deferred money. The $30 million in deferred money would be paid in 12 installments of $2.5 million each July 1 from 2031 to 2042.
How do you ever have a bad summer?
And then if the buyout isn't owed,
how do you ever have a bad life?
If you don't get the buyout, if it's not owed, he would receive $28 million in 11 installments of $2.3 million from 2031 to 2041 with a final payment of $2.3 million. Like, just in other words, he's getting paid through 2042 no matter what. And somebody asked on, I think it was, I don't know who it was on Twitter, but they said, so what happens, not saying he would, but what happens if he gets cut?
Nothing.
It's guaranteed.
Yep.
It's guaranteed money. So if they do it, they got to do the buyout. He's still getting the money.
Football, you might be in trouble. Baseball and basketball, once you sign it. That's why they always used to say Ricky Henderson always had a career year in his last year of his existing deal. In a contract year, Ricky Henderson, if you go back and look at the numbers, in a contract year, Ricky Henderson's numbers were even better than they were in his Hall of Fame career. And, you know, in third person, you used to say Ricky got to get paid. But he would make sure in those years he'd play even better to guarantee that more money was coming for the day. And then he'd relax once he got that money in the bank. Not that he was awful or anything, but he'd ease up. He wasn't pressing his heart. He'd take his time, maybe nonchalant a fly ball or two, because he knew he was set for the next however many years until he had to do it again.
It's crazy.
But you think about it, one thing for Yelich to do it. For back in Bobby Bonilla's day, to have someone, whether it was him or his agent or whoever, to say, hey, you want to make sure that you're taken care of well after you're done playing baseball?
Do it this way.
Yeah, you might think this sucks right now. It's really not that big of a loss for you. But think about the gain you're going to get.
So smart.
Rest of your life.
Yeah, until you're 72 years old, you're going to be getting a million.
Did we look it up? He is still getting paid?
He'll be 72. Yeah, Bonilla.
Yeah, Bonilla's dead. Yeah. Wow. He's still got like at least a decade, right? What did you say?
It goes away when he's 72, 2035.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy.
Jeez.
Good for him and good for Christian Yelich.
Yeah, and
he'll be drawing a check through 2041.
And the other thing that I liked, which I was shocked at, was he came out from the get-go and says, I love playing in Milwaukee. I love playing here.
That is shocking.
It is. Look, I'm from there, and I'm telling you, it's shocking.
Who loves Wisconsin?
And he came out and said, I couldn't see myself wanting to play anywhere else. Good for Milwaukee, good for the Brewers, whatever they did as an organization, because that's a tough sell.
Smart move on their part to work with him. Smart move on his part to get paid no matter what, to be taken care of the rest of his life. Even if look, if you're getting the $28 million now as opposed to deferred, it's all the same. But you know, I guess the way you look at it is $28 million now. If you invested it, you could make more money off that money. But in the long run, you'll still be getting checks when you retire. Mm-hmm. Not like he's going to need it anyways. He's already.
But stranger things have happened where people have screwed up in investments or something happens. And you end up losing, you know, a large sum of money because you invested in a company that went belly up or you did some things. So this way you assure yourself no matter what happens in life, no matter what you do, you're never going to be hurting for cash.
Yeah. Smart.
So, yeah, it was very smart. The other one that I wanted to bring up to you guys because it really chapped my ass. And not just because of my relationship with Charles. But, you know, Charles has been big this year on saying Draymond Green got himself another triple single.
Uh-huh.
Because in a year where he should be flourishing without Clay and Steph, he's been getting like 9, 7, and 4 or worse. And so Draymond got ticked off about it and said, Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though, because I can do that well, too. He already didn't make enough money playing, so he needs that job. He should stop talking to me. I'd like to. I have a tendency to end people, so he should stop before I go take his job.
Shut up, man.
Chill, exactly. Bro. Shut the hell up. Because you know what I thought about this? When you think about this, Draymond Green is this era's version of Robert Horry. He's not a Hall of Fame player, but he's going to win enough that people are going to consider him for the Hall of Fame. When you look at it just strictly by the numbers, and look, I love Rob, and Rob was huge defensively and big shot Bob and all the whole thing. But when you look at his overall numbers, you're going to put someone in the Hall of Fame that averaged about 7.5 points a game. Mm. And Draymond's this era's version of the same thing. He's riding Steph and Clay and KD and all this other
Barkley
talent.
Never had that.
Yeah. No, that's why he didn't win.
Because without him, they would have been better. If it was all Draymond, they would have still been a better team than they are. So, yeah, I'm with you. And look, stop taking shots at Charles. You don't want that smoke.
That's the other thing.
And Charles don't care.
No.
No, he don't. He's going to keep doing it now. He's going to do it more. Until the only thing that will stop him is if TNT says, okay, ease up. Like when he called Tad Brown Toad Brown and Daryl What's-His-Name and said, I don't believe in analytics and did all these things. And then everybody was laughing and he was everybody's hero. And then Tad and Mr. Alexander called the league and said, you make him apologize. Mm. They called TNT. Charles apologized. But believe me, he didn't want to do it, and privately, he had more than enough things to say. But that's the only way he would kind of ease back on that. He's going to have a field day with this.
Yeah. There's some guys you shouldn't just let him do
his thing. Do you guys know
this,
by the way? That show is being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Really?
That show. So
that's kind of weird.
You don't think that that's not driven by Charles Barkley's popularity and how much people love to hear him talk? So Draymond's got a whole...
Oh, it's all Shaq.
Okay. Draymond's got his work cut out for him if he thinks he's better than Charles.
Well, I don't think so, no, big man.
What? The hell did Shaq just say?
Big man sucks.
Did you see, by the way, the other night, there's a new State Farm commercial?
Shaq, I like Shaq, but damn, I can't understand him half the time.
No, I'm with you. But there's a new State Farm commercial, and it's just Kenny sitting out on the side laughing at, like, imposters trying to be Kenny, Charles, and Shaq.
Oh, really?
They go to the halftime show, and Shaq's like, Kenny, I don't know how you got paid, but Charles and my lawyers are about to call State Farm. Because they don't look like us, sound like us, and I know we ain't getting paid for that.
That's funny.
And it's like, you know what? He's probably got a case.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
We'll see. We got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next. Turn it over to the Blitz. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up on the final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Monday in the big city. We'll all be here again tomorrow, and then Barry will be off on his merry way, while Nick and I will be happily carrying on the rest of the week.
Now that's uncalled for.
Well, I mean, it's true.
It's
Nick's always happier when he's in your chair. There you have it.
You guys are jerks.
You guys? I didn't say anything. I said he's happier when he's in your chair.
You're a jerk, too.
Okay, cool.
Where are you off to this week?
I have two gigs over 2 days in New Mexico at casinos. So I'm using the opportunity to take Nora on a little roadie, and we'll just go have a little fun.
She's going.
She's going.
That's
do
some awesome.
It's like a vacation slash.
She kind of owes it to you, because then she goes see some other comic instead of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to go. Well, she's still not going to go to the shows. She'll probably. I'll be like, babe, it's the show starts in 20 minutes. Yeah, I'll just get to go gamble. You just come find me when you're done.
Y'all are driving?
That'll be. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's definitely. I mean, how many people do you think she's going to force you to stop at the side of the road and help?
None.
Okay.
Nobody. But I will say, she would not go with me until I got new tires. She was like, it's time to get tires. I was like, we can make one more trip. She was like, I'm not riding in your car unless you get new tires. I was like, wow. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Has she seen the windshield?
She won that battle.
Yes.
Because if she's seen the windshield, you may not be getting away with just getting tires.
But I will say this. Getting new tires on your car, I liken it to getting a haircut. You know, if it's been a while and you get a haircut, it just feels so good.
Sure.
Same thing. I'm like, oh man, it's smoother. It's quieter. It feels like it's probably none of those things, but when you get them, it just feels. And I got to give a shout out to my guys over at Tire Link in Spring. I've never really had a good experience at a tire store for me. I've never had, it's always been okay or whatever. Dude, I can't say enough good things about them. And no, they don't, you know, they're not sponsors. I need to hit them up. I love them so much. I'd love to speak for them, but it was awesome. It was one of the best. And they told me, have you ever been in and out of a tire shop in 30 minutes? Ever? If you're getting four new tires? Because they were like, I said, how long is it going to take? He was like, 30 minutes.
They balanced them and everything?
Everything.
Aligned minutes. It? The whole work?
Everything.
That's impressive.
30 minutes. I was like, so I said, if I'm there at 8, how quickly can I be out? They were like, 8:30. Well, they didn't have the tires I wanted, so they said, well, we'll order them. They should be in at 2:30, but they might be in earlier. They were in early. And now it was 2:45. I had stopped and had lunch with Randy Lemon, and it was like, I got to go. I got there late. Let me get that. Still, yeah, would you grab that name from? Still out in 30 minutes. And I asked them, I was like, it's going to take a while now because it's 3 o'clock. They were like, no, 30 minutes, done. I was so impressed, man.
Yeah, I would imagine there's more than one. I've installed and balanced tires before. I hated it, And it never took me 30 minutes. It always took me a lot longer. But usually they have more than one guy helping, and that helps.
It was crazy. I don't know how they did. I didn't even watch. I just
all they sat... do is tires, man.
Dude, it was crazy. So shout out to the guys at Tire Link, especially the one in Spring, man.
It's so funny that you did the whole name drop thing. You know who did that on ESPN to Richard Jefferson? It was either, I forgot which analyst. Like, Richard Jefferson made reference to, like, a player.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, name drop. Richard Jefferson was like, yep, you're damn right I'm name dropping him. It was funny. I was like, man, this is exactly like Joel and Barry.
That's what we do.
RJ's really good, though.
He is.
He's just made for that. You kind of knew when he was playing, when he was done. He just had the personality that he was going to be good.
He speaks well.
He's very well spoken. He's got great personality. You know, he can kind of roll with the punches, too. But he's killing it, too, because he's got the ESPN gig doing all that stuff with Get Up and those shows. He's also the analyst, I want to say, the color analyst on TV for the Nets. And also fills in doing some other team and some stuff in L.A. So he's doing really well with it, but he's good at what he does.
Yeah, I like watching him on TV, too. So anytime they have him on, I'm...
Not to mention the fact that until LeBron retires, the fact that he was really, really close with LeBron for a couple of years doesn't hurt. Because, you know, he can reach out and text LeBron, and LeBron's going to text him back.
Mm-hmm.
So when they want info like that, they can get it. So, yeah, I think RJ's pretty... I like Ryan Clark. I think Ryan Clark should get a whole lot more run.
You have a man crush.
I want Ryan Clark on this show.
You just want Ryan Clark.
Nope.
You want to have sex with his body.
If you are bored on an NFL Sunday, follow Ryan Clark's Twitter as he watches games on Sunday Ticket, because he does not hold back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because he posts pictures and you like looking at them.
Okay, let me know when you're done.
You're a big fan of his.
So?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just messing with you. But, yeah, I think he does a really good job.
And maybe you're more of a booger guy.
Okay.
You might just like booger better than Ryan Clark.
All right.
And what about Marcus Spears? He's okay.
I'll be over here.
The big swagoo. We were talking about coronavirus earlier.
Oh, damn. Somebody said there's bad weather in New Mexico this week. What? Oh. Great. Good thing I got new tires.
Boy, the gifts just keep on coming, Nick.
See, you're now you're hoping I die with my wife in the car.
We never said
now
die.
Now you're hoping I
and
die.
And we obviously never want anything to happen to Nora.
With my wife in the car. That's you've stooped to a new low.
You did renew your insurance, though, right?
You have stooped to a new low.
Well, yeah. We still got another day. Did you see this, by the way? We were talking about the coronavirus earlier. The Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, just did this whole speech where he advised the Dutch not to shake hands anymore due to the outbreak of the coronavirus. And when he was done speaking, he turned to the guy next to him at the podium and shook his hand and then went, and then you had to go back after the fact and tried to give the guy elbows and stuff. It's like, too late, man. You just gave this whole presentation about we're not shaking hands anymore, and then you shook a dude's hand. Come on.
I would feel bad. I kind of did that. It happens more than once where I'll, you know, you'll be out in public and you meet somebody and you're kind of fist pumping everyone. And then you see like a buddy and you're like, oh, hey, what's up? And you shake their hand and you're like, damn, I'm kind of a jerk for that. I shook his hand, but I fist bumped everybody else. I feel like kind of a jerk, but oh, well.
Do you see, too, that, and I don't know, again, this is one of those deals where I guess he probably didn't get a lot of advice on the subject, but when they told LeBron that the NBA, because they've sent out another memo now, and all the leagues are trying to, you know, depending on how big and bad this thing gets, that they're having to put contingency plans in place. They want the teams to do their thing. Someone brought it up to LeBron postgame, and he obviously wasn't expecting the question, and no one versed him on it. And the reporter kind of said, you know, the NBA is now considering you guys possibly playing games without the fans. And he went, what?
Ooh.
And they went, yeah. And he goes, well, I'll tell you right now, I play the game for my teammates, my coaches, and the fans. No fans? I ain't playing.
Wow.
I would think he's at Adam Silver's on line one. I would think they're going to have a little discussion.
With LeBron?
Yeah, because I think he spoke too soon. I mean, I understand that he wants to come across and he is, you know, he wants to be a man of the people and all that. But at a certain point, you got to think about just the bigger picture.
Yeah. But
my guess is he said that because he doesn't think that's going to happen.
That's a good point, too.
Maybe.
That's my guess.
But
I don't know if that's true.
But what, I mean... So what do you do? Because I could see more than one person coming out and saying the same thing. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to play if the fans aren't there. What's the point? We do this for the fans. I mean, it's a no-lose situation for you to say that.
It is. It's just that, you know, and the difference is LeBron's got security for financial security for like 10 lifetimes. But what if you're that, you know, that fringe roster player? You don't have a choice. Because if they say, you know, if you don't play, you don't get paid. And a lot of these guys are relying on that money. They're going to have to play. So that's a tough situation, too. Because
I mean, owners are going to have a say in this, too, right? I mean,
the owners are basically...
Like, which owner's going to say, yeah, we just won't let the fans in the building. Yeah.
Right.
We won't take their money.
That's one of the things that they have to really discuss and hash out. Because, you know, are the owners expecting... Well, the season ticket holders, they've paid for their tickets for the year.
You got to give them the money back?
You got to have...
But you still got to pay players to play, but you're not making any money.
Yeah, that's a tough
deal.
Not
making any concessions, no parking, but you're still paying millions of dollars.
You
got to
refund the sponsors for the TV and the radio broadcast for those games.
Yeah.
That don't get their ads.
And the in-arena. What's the point of in-arena advertising if there's no one in the arena? Oof.
It's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all plays out. But you know what? We're played out for a Monday. Still got plenty more to come tomorrow on the show, so hopefully you'll be suspects and join us again same time on a Tuesday. But for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.